Eradicating Egoism. The path of the Kabbalah is different. Even though there are pleasures in our world, we can break away from egoism by means of faith, above reason, in the purpose of creation, other than listening to what our bodies and our reason tells us. Then we start experiencing love for the Creator, as well as a feeling of His love for us. This is the path of peace and joy and of faith in the fact that the long way is, in fact, the short way without suffering. When a person is not capable of receiving the light into the self, the inner light, or pnimi, his spiritual development will take place only under the influence of the surrounding light, or makif. This path of spiritual development is called the natural way, or the way of suffering, derech bitu. This is the path of all humanity. Another alternative for the spiritual development of an individual is through the establishment of a personal bond with the Creator, characterized by the work in three lines. This way is called the way of Kabbalah, derech hashina. It's much shorter than the way of suffering. Thus, the Kabbalist says that an individual who wishes to go directly towards the Creator shortens the time of his correction. It is difficult to have faith if sufferings do not force you to. However, it's very important for a person to believe that the result of his work depends only on his efforts, that is, he should believe in the divine rule by reward and punishment. The Creator rewards an individual by awarding him good thoughts and desires. Faith should be obtained from fellow students and from books. However, once an individual has attained faith, the perception of the Creator, one must convince himself that it was given to him by the Creator. The upper spiritual power may be a medicine of life if it provides strength and the will to work. However, it is considered poison if a person believes that all is determined from above and nothing depends on his efforts. The principal effort should be the preservation of the lofty aspirations given to a person from above. First, a person is sent spiritual sensations from above, then a person is elevated, and then comes the time of hard work and of constant effort to remain on that particular spiritual level by one's own strength. A person should concentrate on appreciating the value of the spiritual elevation that he received. As soon as he begins to disregard what he has acquired or to derive self-gratification from it, he begins to lose the attained spiritual level. All that falls under the power of egoism is situated in the central point of creation, Nikuda Emzeit. Everything that does not wish to gratify the self is placed above that point. Thus it is said that the line which represents the descent of the light, Kav, makes contact in order to imperceptibly revive creation, and does not make contact, does not fill the creation with the Creator's light, with the central point. It is said that a person who aspires to advance spiritually is helped by being given a soul, a part of the Creator, the light. As a result, a person begins to feel that he's part of the Creator. How did the light of the Creator generate the desire to derive joy from him? Well, for example, in our world, if a person is given honors that person never expected, and then if those honors are taken from one, that person will crave the familiar pleasures derived from the honors. This desire to get back the taken pleasures is known as a vessel, kli. The light gradually makes the vessel grow in order to fill it with pleasure, or with the light. Abraham asked the Creator, "How can I be sure that you will save my descendants? How can I be sure that my children will be able to break away from egoism by the way of Kabbalah? Why give them the light if they have no yearning for it?" The Creator answered that they will be given a sensation of being enslaved by their egoism and, in contrast, a sensation of the light. In attempting to overcome one's desires, a person needs to recognize that his body does not understand the dimensions of time and thus does not perceive the past or the future, but only the present. For instance, if it is crucial to exert an effort for a period of 5 minutes in order to be able to rest thereafter, the body will still resist putting forth that effort because it's unable to grasp the benefit that will follow shortly. Even when an individual remembers the pleasure that was attained in the past after hard work, the body will still withhold the necessary strength to complete the task. This can be reminiscent of a case in which a person gets paid for the work prior to its completion and doesn't truly want to put forth a good effort to finish the job. Therefore, it's crucial not to delay the struggle against the body, but instead to use every opportunity at a given moment to counter the body with loftier thoughts. Since every person is 100% an egoist, he will never voluntarily wish to form a bond with the Creator. Only in the case when a person is convinced that this bond will bring a certain benefit will there be a desire for this connection. Thus it can be concluded that simply seeing one's own evil and understanding that only the Creator can send help is nonetheless not sufficient to get the strength to turn to the Creator and to ask for assistance. Only the realization that coming closer to the Creator and forming a bond with Him will bring the redemption is sufficient. The Kabbalah offers us its path rather than the path of suffering. Time changes the conditions around us. 2,000 years ago, only a precious few searched for a connection with the Creator. As in the time of Rabbi Shimon, in the time of Ari and Ramchal, there were already small groups engaged in the study of Kabbalah. In the times of Baal Shem Tov, the number of groups grew to dozens. Finally, in the time of Baal Sulam, the numbers increased even further. In our times, the barrier that separates the masses from the Kabbalah has been obliterated altogether, and there is hardly any resistance to the teaching. If in the past only the people of very strong character could attain the connection with the Creator, in the present, beginners and even children, by simply under proper supervision, will be able to reach the same results. An individual is unable to separate the good from the evil, just as he is unable to discern what is good for the self and what is detrimental. Only the Creator can help a person in this respect by opening his eyes. Only then does a person begin to see everything, which means to choose life. But until the point at which a person comes to realize the absolute necessity of the constant connection to the Creator, he will not open the person's eyes in order to induce that person to ask for compassion. Inside the internal feelings of the Kabbalist, there exists a part of the higher level, of the future state, Ahab. A person perceives a higher spiritual level as an unattractive vacuum, rather than a state full of light, because that person does not receive from the higher level. Even though the higher level is full of light, the lower level perceives the higher only to the degree that the lower qualities permit a person to do so. Since the present qualities are not sufficient to receive the higher light, the individual does not perceive it. The concealment of the Creator causes each of us to put forth a tremendous effort in order to attain the level of existence that is customarily accepted by our society. We blindly move forward, guided by the internal quiet whispers of our egoism. We, like his blind tools, rush to carry out his commands just so he should not punish us by suffering, thus propelling us to accept his will against our own will and consequently carry out his wishes without thinking twice. Our egoism is situated in us, but it is so deeply rooted that we've started to accept it as being an attribute of our nature, as representing our true desires. It penetrates all cells of our body and forces us to evaluate all our perceptions in accordance with its desires. It forces us to plan our actions in accordance with its design in order to increase its own benefit from our actions. A person does not even imagine that it is possible to shed the influence of egoism and to cleanse himself of it. But it is possible to expel the egotistic cloud which takes the form of our body, penetrates us, and garbs itself in our flesh. Once we have been left without the egoistic desires, the Creator will accord us His altruistic aspirations. As long as the egoistic presence remains within us, though we are unable to imagine what would be the benefit for us to eradicate it, moreover, the altruistic thoughts and desires appear to us as unacceptable, silly, not serious, and certainly unable to form the basis of our society, not even to mention the universe. But this takes place only because our thoughts and desires remain under the influence of egoism. In order to acquire an objective perspective on his own condition, a person must attempt to consider egoism as something extrinsic to his essence, as his enemy who tries to pass itself off as a friend. We must try to see egoism as something foreign to us, which was placed in us by the will of the Creator. Such actions are considered to be attempts of a person to realize evil. But this is possible only to the extent that a person senses the Creator's existence and perceives His light, since everything is understood merely in relation to other objects, by the perception of opposites. Thus, rather than concentrating all one's energy on the search for evil within himself, a person should make the utmost effort to perceive the light of the Creator. All creations, with us being the only exception, operate according to the laws of altruism. Only human beings and the world surrounding them, our world, Olam Hazeh, are created with the opposite egoistic qualities. If by chance we got a glimpse of the Creator and of all the spiritual worlds, we would immediately understand how minute our world is in comparison to the spiritual worlds. Therefore, the egoistic laws of nature operate only in a tiny pea-sized world. But why did the Creator conceal Himself after placing us deliberately in a world that is full of darkness, insecurity, and sadness? When the Creator was creating us, His goal was to bestow on us an eternal existence together with Him. However, we must reach this state by our own means, in order not to feel ashamed for the eternal pleasure that we may unjustly acquire. Thus, the Creator generated a world that was opposite to Him in nature, and that epitomized the one quality that was opposite to His essence, the aspiration to gratify oneself, egoism. He endowed us with this quality. As soon as a human being becomes affected with this quality, he is born into this world and immediately stops perceiving the Creator. The concealment of the Creator exists for the purpose of creating an illusion in us that we possess free will to choose between our world and the world of the Creator, the upper world. If despite our egoism, we were able to see the Creator, then naturally we would prefer the world of the Creator over our world, since the first one contains all the pleasures and has no suffering. The freedom of choice and free will can only exist in the absence of the perception of the Creator, that is, in the state of his concealment. But if from the moment of birth a person is subjected to the total dominating influence of egoism to such an extent that he does not distinguish between himself and egoism, then how can he make a choice that will be free of egoistic influence? Also, what choice can there truly be if our world is full of suffering and death, whereas the world of the Creator is full of pleasure and immortality? What is left to choose for human beings? In order to allow us to have free will, the Creator, one, at times reveals himself to a person in order to enable him to see his grandeur and providence. As a result of this, he experiences calmness. Two, gave us Kabbalah, the study of which, given that the person truly wants to come out of his present state and to perceive the Creator, prompts a hidden surrounding spiritual light, or Makif. The connection of a person to the Creator, starting from the lowest level, our world, and extending to the highest level, where the Creator dwells, can be compared to steps of a spiritual ladder. All the steps of this ladder exist in the spiritual worlds. The Creator resides on the highest step, whereas the lowest step comes down to our world. A human being is situated below the lowest spiritual step. Since the initial egoistic level of a person is not connected to the first spiritual state, which is completely altruistic, the perception of an upper spiritual level is possible when the qualities of the person and the spiritual state coincide. Then the degree of perception will be proportional to the congruence of qualities. The possibility of perceiving the upper levels is feasible because all the spiritual levels are arranged sequentially from the lowest to the highest. Moreover, the subsequent states overlap one another. The lower half of the higher state is situated within the upper half of the lower state. A hop of upper falls to GE of lower. Thus, the lowest part of our upper state is always present within us, but is usually not felt by us. The upper state above us is referred to as the Creator, because it functions as the Creator for us. It gives birth to us, and it gives us life and guidance. Since we do not have a perception of this higher state, we often insist that the Creator does not exist. But if a person is in a state in which he clearly sees the Creator's upper domain over all the creations in this world, then that person loses the possibility to choose freely because he sees only one truth, only one force, and only one will that operates in everything and in everyone. Since the will of the Creator is to grant each human being a free will, then the concealment of the Creator from the creation is necessary. Only if the Creator is hidden can it be argued that a person alone, without self-interest, aspires of his free will to attach himself to the Creator, to act for the sake of the Creator. The entire process of self-correction is only possible in the state of the Creator's concealment, because as soon as the Creator reveals himself to us, we immediately become his servants and fall into the control of his thought, grandeur, and power. At that point, it's impossible to determine what the person's true thoughts are. Thus, in order to give a person the possibility to act freely, the creator has to conceal himself. On the other hand, in order to give a person a chance to break free from the blind slavery of egoism, the creator must reveal himself. This is so because a human being obeys only two forces in this world, the force of egoism, the body, and the force of the creator, altruism. It follows then that the alternation of these two states is necessary. The concealment of the creator from an individual at times when the individual perceives only himself and the egoistic forces that govern him and the revelation of the creator when the individual feels the power of the spiritual forces. In order for the person who remains under the influence of egoism to perceive the most proximate upper object, that is his creator, the creator must equalize some of his qualities with the qualities of the lower one, the person. The creator endows some of his altruistic qualities with egoistic attributes, and thus comes in balance with the person. Initially, the lower part was not able to perceive the upper spiritual state whatsoever. But as a result of the creator's hiding his highest altruistic qualities behind egoistic ones, he was able to descend to the level of the person so that the person should be able to perceive him. However, because the higher qualities are perceived by the person as being egoistic, he doesn't truly grasp their essence. So it appears to the person that there's nothing positive in the spiritual that may bring one pleasure, inspiration, confidence, and tranquility. It's precisely at this point that a person has the opportunity to exercise his free will and to say to himself that the absence of pleasure and taste in the spiritual and in the Kabbalah is a result of the deliberate concealment of the Creator for the sake of the person. A person must realize that he does not yet possess the necessary spiritual qualities which will enable him to perceive the upper spiritual pleasures. Rather, all his pleasures are governed by egoism. It is crucial for the beginner to understand that any state of depression and distress is given to a person so that it may be overcome, either by directing one's pleas to the Creator, or by studying, or by doing good deeds. The fact that the person does not experience pleasure and vitality from spiritual aspirations is deliberately determined from above, in order to give that person the free will to arrive at the conclusion that his lack of pleasure comes from the lack of an appropriate altruistic quality in himself. Hence, the upper light must disguise his true qualities from the person. For this reason, it's important to remember that the initial stage of perceiving the spiritual is the feeling of spiritual deprivation. If the lower part is capable of realizing that the upper one is concealing himself because of the incongruence of qualities between him and the lower part, and if the lower part asks for help in correcting his own egoism by raising his prayer, Man, then the upper part partially reveals himself, lifts his ahap, and displays his true qualities, which prior to this moment were disguised under egoism. As a result, the spiritual pleasure also becomes apparent. Thus, the lower part begins to experience the grandeur and the spiritual pleasure which is felt by the higher being who possesses the spiritual altruistic qualities. By the fact that the upper part elevated his altruistic qualities in the eyes of the individual, he thus elevated the individual to the middle of his state. He lifted GE of the lower together with his own ahap. Such a spiritual state of a person is known as the lesser spiritual level, Kadnut. The upper part, in a way, elevates the lower part to his own spiritual level by permitting him to see his own grandeur and the grandeur of the altruistic qualities. By seeing the magnificence of the spiritual in comparison to the material, the individual spiritually rises above our world. The perception of the spiritual, irrespective of the person's will, alters egoistic qualities of that person into altruistic ones, that is, into the qualities of the Creator. In order to allow the lower part to take complete possession of the higher first level, the upper part wholly reveals himself and all his qualities to that lower part. He makes Gadlut. At this point, the person perceives the upper part as the one and only absolute sovereign of everything in the universe. Also, the lower part grasps the highest knowledge of the purpose of creation and of the upper's dominion. It becomes clear to the lower part that there is no other way to conduct himself other than in the way described by the Kabbalah. Thus, the lower part's reason now obligates him to act properly. As a result of a clear awareness of the Creator, A contradiction arises in a person between faith and knowledge, between the right and the left lines. Having acquired altruistic qualities, kadnut, a person prefers to proceed only by means of faith in the strength of the Creator, since this serves as an indication of his sincere desire to come closer to the Creator. However, the revelation of his grandeur on the part of the Creator, gadlut, now serves as an obstruction to advancing by faith. An individual at this point must be willing to dispense with the acquired knowledge. The pleas of a person concerning his desire to proceed blindly, only by having faith in the magnificence of the Creator, rather than by realizing his power and grandeur and only by using his reason in proportion to his faith, compels the Creator to limit his disclosure. This action of a person, which compels the Creator to diminish his disclosure of his general dominion, his omniscience, and his light, or chachma, is known as the screen, or hirik. Through this screen, a person diminishes the revelation of the upper reason, to the left line, to the point at which he can balance this revelation with his faith, the right line. The correct correlation between faith and knowledge is called a spiritual balance, the middle line. It is the individual who determines what state he desires to be in. An individual now attains perfection because he is comprised of the correct correlation of faith and knowledge, known as the middle line. That part of revealed knowledge, the left line, which the individual can use in proportion to his faith, the right line, by proceeding by faith above reason, the middle line, is added into those spiritual qualities that the individual possessed before, in a state of kadnut. The newly acquired spiritual level is known as gadlut, meaning big and complete. After the person has acquired his first complete spiritual level, that person becomes equal in qualities to the very first, the lowest state of the spiritual ladder. As was mentioned earlier, since all states or steps of the ladder overlap with each other, having reached the first level, the person may discover the presence of a higher level in himself. Using the same principle as when advancing to the first level, the person can proceed step by step to the goal of creation, the complete unification with the Creator on the highest level. An essential part of the spiritual ascent is a process by which every time an individual discovers a greater evil in himself, he asks the Creator to grant him the strength to overcome that evil. The person then receives the strength in the form of a greater spiritual light. This continues until the point at which the individual finally reaches the true original level and size of his soul. At that point, his entire egoism is corrected and filled with light. The search for the Creator. When a person is distracted by outside thoughts, he feels that the thoughts obstruct him from advancing forward in ascertaining the spiritual, because his strength and his mind are wasted on extraneous concerns, while the heart becomes filled with petty desires. At times like this, a person loses faith in the fact that only the Kabbalah contains the true life. Once a person overcomes this condition, he comes out of his state, and he gets into the light and receives a higher light, which helps one ascend further. In this manner, the extraneous thoughts work to help a person in his spiritual advancement. One can overcome obstacles only with the help of the Creator. A person can only work on something if he sees some benefit for the self in the task. Our bodies, hearts, and intellects do not understand what benefit results from altruism. Thus, as soon as a person attempts to make even the slightest altruistic move, he loses all the strength of the mind, of the heart, and of the body. The person is left with nothing else but to turn to the Creator and to ask Him for help. In this way, unwillingly and without any free choice, a person advances towards the Creator until the point at which he merges with Him completely. A person should not complain that he was born being insufficiently smart, strong, or courageous, or that he lacks qualities that other people possess. If he doesn't advance on the right path, then what difference does it make if he's endowed with the best abilities and potential? It may be that a talented person can become a great scientist, but if that person will not attain a connection with the Creator, he will fail to live up to his purpose, just as the majority of the people fail. What is crucial is to attain the level of a righteous person. Only then will a person be able to utilize all his potential for the right task, rather than squander his strength in vain. Even the weakest and most trivial abilities given to an individual by the Creator should be used for the sake of the loftiest goals. If a person is in a state of a spiritual descent, then it is useless to try to convince him to cheer up or to subject him to listening to the learned wisdom of others. Nothing that others will say will help that person. The stories of what other people live through and their advice will not enliven the depressed person, because that person has lost all faith in everything, including the faith in the achievements of others. However, if he repeats to himself what he used to say and feel when he was in the state of spiritual exhilaration and was full of life as opposed to being spiritually dead at the present, if he remembers his own aspirations and spiritual progress, then he will grow to regain his good spirits by remembering that at some point one had faith and advanced in life by means of faith above reason. One can help oneself to come out of the state of spiritual death. For this reason, a person should always rely on his own recollections and experience. Only this will motivate him to forsake the state of depression. The task of a person who has reached a certain spiritual level is to make a selection of the myriad of pleasures that come to him, so as to immediately discard all those pleasures that cannot be balanced by his faith, since they're not fit for use. In the Kabbalah, that part of pleasure that a person receives for the sake of the Creator, for the sole purpose of strengthening his faith, is considered to be the food. On the other hand, the other part, which a person is unable to receive, is considered as refuse. If a person is incapable of distinguishing between the two and wants to devour the entire portion, in Kabbalistic terms, to become drunk from the excess of pleasure, then that person loses everything and is left with nothing. In the Kabbalah, such a person is known as a pauper. A person is prescribed what he can and cannot do. If that person decides to ignore the prescription, then he receives a punishment. If a person is not aware of the pain and the suffering that may result in case he disobeys the law, then that person is bound to break the law, since as a result he will receive pleasure. Consequently, that person will receive the punishment as well, in order that he should realize that in the future he should not act in this particular manner. For example, there exists a law that one is not permitted to steal money. But if a person possesses a strong pull towards money, as well as the knowledge of where the money can be stolen, then even if he knows with certainty that a theft will be followed by punishment, he will still be incapable of realizing the full extent of the suffering that will follow the transgression. Therefore, he will decide that the pleasure from acquiring the money is much greater than the suffering from the punishment that will follow. But when he actually receives the suffering, then he realizes that the suffering far exceeds his expectations and is certainly greater than the pleasure that was procured by the theft. At that point, he becomes ready to follow the law. Once a person becomes free, he is then warned that if he transgresses again, the next punishment will be much greater. This is done so a person doesn't forget the suffering that was sent to him. Thus, when one gets the desire to steal again, one should remember about the suffering that one will receive, as well as about the fact that these sufferings will be much more severe than the previous ones. Thus, there is at least some incentive to hold oneself back from engaging in theft. From the above example, and from many others that surround us every day, it can be seen that suffering directs a person to a path which otherwise would not be chosen if he were to follow his egoism, since it is always easier to steal than to earn, to rest than to think or to work, and to receive pleasure than to suffer. If a person does decide to learn the Kabbalah, he should know that it is for his good. In other words, a person should realize that one's egoism benefits from such actions. None of us is able to take upon himself the burden of work that's completely selfless, that does not yield money, honor, pleasure, or hope for a better future. Moreover, a person is not capable of engaging in work that doesn't yield any results or any fruits, that does not bestow anything upon another, and does not result in any benefit being conferred upon another, that only appears to produce senseless effort in empty space. It's natural that our egoistic reason and body are not prepared for such a task because they've been designed by the Creator so as to receive pleasure. The suffering that one receives in his daily life, the complete loss of any delight or desire in that life, together with a strong conviction that he's incapable of receiving even the smallest pleasure from the surrounding environment, be it a pleasure from peace or from a happy event, force a person to feel and act altruistically in the hope that redemption can be found on this new path. Although this new approach to life cannot be considered to be ultimate altruism, since the goal of his actions is personal well-being and salvation, this approach nevertheless approximates altruism and allows an individual to proceed gradually to the desired state under the influence of the light that is concealed in his actions. In behaving altruistically, but still for one's own benefit, that is, by giving in order to receive, a person begins to perceive the light, the pleasure, that's concealed in his actions. The nature of this light is such that it corrects the individual. We can observe certain events in nature. For instance, it can rain extensively, but not in places where the rain would yield the greatest benefit. Thus, the rain may fall in the desert where it produces little effect, rather than in the fields where even the slightest precipitation can give rise to a variety of crops. Similarly, a person can be engaged in the constant reading of spiritual texts, but the fruits, the spiritual understanding of the Creator, which should result from his efforts, may elude him. On the other hand, it's possible that by investing a significantly smaller effort in the study of the right portions of the Kabbalah, a person may assure a great harvest from his efforts. If the entire process of studying is dedicated to the search for the Creator, rather than to mere accumulation of knowledge, then the whole life-bearing effect of the Kabbalah is rendered in the proper place. But if the person is studying only in order to receive greater knowledge, or even worse, in order to display his intellect and to be proud of it, then even the Kabbalah will not yield the right results. But in the latter case, it can reveal to the person the proper goal of studying, and then he can utilize his efforts in the right direction. It is precisely the process of correcting one's direction of thought that takes place while one constantly studies the Kabbalah, since every human being's task is to steer himself in the right direction, so that his thoughts and deeds commune uniquely with the goal of creation, especially during the time of studying the Kabbalah, since there is no stronger means of coming closer to the spiritual. In the Bible, Egypt represents the supremacy of our egoism. It is thus known as Mitzrayim, derived from the words Mitzra, the concentration of evil. Amalek represents the tribe that waged war against Yisrael, derived from Yisra, Yasher, straight, and El, creator. That is, those who want to steer themselves directly to the Creator. Amalek personifies our egoism, which under no circumstances wants to permit a person to become free of its power. Egoism is displayed, or attacks, only in the desires of a person who attempts to depart from the Egyptian captivity, egoism. Even if a person is situated at the very beginning of his path, Amalek will immediately bar his passage. A sudden increase in perceiving one's egoism is sent to those only who were distinguished and chosen by the Creator. Only the ones who were selected in order to attain a higher understanding of the Creator are sent the Amalek. In order to invoke in these people a real need for the Creator, rather than a mere need to improve their personal qualities or simply become good people, an individual so chosen begins to experience great difficulties in the realm of self-improvement. A desire to study, which was so strong in the past, suddenly wanes. The body becomes heavy with respect to the actions required of it. The struggle with the body, the intellect, our I, focuses on the body's desire to understand who is the Creator, where the body should go, and why, and whether the body will benefit from each of the efforts. Otherwise, without benefit, neither our mind nor our body will give any energy or any motivation to do something. They are right, since it's silly to carry out actions without knowing in advance what will be the outcome. There's no way to transcend the limitations of our human nature and enter into the spiritual meta-world other than through acquiring the intellect and the desires common to that meta-world. These desires are opposite in nature to the desires of our world, since everything that we perceive and sense and everything that creates the picture of our world is the product of our egoistic intellect and our egoistic heart. Thus, only the process of replacing the existing notions with the opposite ones, faith replacing reason and giving replacing taking, can one enter the spiritual world. But since we only possess those tools that we were originally created with, that is, intellect and egoism, and since our intellect works only for the benefit of our egoism, the different tools of reason and perception cannot be produced internally and should be obtained from the outside, from the Creator. For this reason, the Creator draws us to Himself, showing us in the process that we're unable to alter ourselves without His help. Even though the body refuses it, we must search for and foster a bond with the Creator, because only this bond will facilitate our spiritual redemption. An individual should not ask the Creator for the ability to see and experience miracles, falsely believing that this experience will help him overcome his self and appreciate the grandeur of the spiritual, rather than be merely overtaken by blind faith. The Kabbalah warns against such thinking when it tells the story of the Exodus from Egypt. When Amalek attacked the people, Moses defeated them by raising up his hands and asking for the power of faith. In the process of the spiritual ascent, we constantly acquire a higher reason, which increases with each attained level. Consequently, we must constantly increase the power of our faith so that it should always remain greater than the power of the intellect. Otherwise, we may once again come under the influence of egoism. This process continues until we completely cling to the Creator. In the final stage, we attain the ultimate understanding, the utmost reception of light, or chachma, without any gradations. It is described as the light that was created on the first day of creation, in which light the first man saw from one end of the world to the other. And in the Kabbalah it is said, at the beginning of creation, everything was engulfed in the highest light. In other words, when the light shines on all, without distinguishing levels, then everything becomes clear. There is no beginning or end of this light. There are no shades, and everything is absolutely comprehensible.